Welcome back to Yahoo Finance. I'm Brian Sozzi, editor-at-large at Yahoo Finance, and I want to welcome in Ashish Birla, general manager at RippleNet, to talk all things Ripple and crypto. Ashish, come on. Hop on the set. I was hoping for some Drake. Maybe come out to some Drake or something, you know?
I requested Drake, but I got this, which is lovely.
Fair enough. Well, good, it's good to see you here today. And RippleNet is making some news, Liquidity Hub. Take us through this.
Yeah, I'm excited to announce that, you know, this morning, 9 a.m., we announced our newest product called Liquidity Hub. And, you know, as we were talking earlier, Ripple has been building a cross-border business, payments business for a number of years now. And in 2018, we started sourcing liquidity for moving cross-border payments from crypto exchanges. And we built up that expertise over the years. And more recently, some of our enterprise customers have been asking us, hey, we source cross-border FX liquidity from Ripple. Is there a way that we can source Bitcoin and Ether and XRP liquidity for our customers? And that really gave us an idea of bringing something like Liquidity Hub to the market. I mean, we already have the expertise. We've integrated into exchanges for our on-demand liquidity product that's part of RippleNet. Let's give customers what they want, and we brought it to them and announced it this morning.
Is that one of the things still keeping crypto more broadly out of the mainstream, even more than it is already now, that liquidity, that on-demand liquidity?
Yeah, so, I mean, it sounds really easy. And when I talk to my, you know, product teams, I'm like, why can't we just flip the switch on? And it's actually really difficult. And as much as we talk about mainstream adoption and the name of the conference, you know, being about taking crypto mainstream, how many crypto developers do we really know out there that know how to securely source liquidity? And we become experts on handling all sorts of things. Like, what happens if a crypto exchange goes down?
What happens?
You can't. We can't tell our customers that, hey, you can't you know, send cross-border payments today. I wouldn't have a job. And just like, you know, one of our customers that we announced this morning, CoinMe, if they're sourcing a Bitcoin transaction for one of their ATMs, they can't just tell their customer it's down. So we built that redundancy by integrating into a number of different exchanges around the world. If there's not enough liquidity, we know how to bring liquidity to the market, and we're going to make that a enterprise-grade product with Liquidity Hub that I think will take to our customers, our existing customers, new customers like CoinMe that we announced this morning. And in the future, I think every corporation in the world is going to want to source crypto liquidity for their business.
Well, don't steal my thunder, because I want to get into what corporations should or should not be doing right now with crypto. But as part of Liquidity Hub, is that trading? Is there a trading component too?
Well, underpinning you know, liquidity is the buy and sell. You know, and the definition of you know, liquidity is the buy and sell. So we offer an interface that enables enterprises to buy and sell crypto. So, you know, we are, you can think of us as an integrator and an aggregator across a number of exchanges. If you're familiar with Kayak or Google Flights, it's sort of an integrator across a number of different travel websites. Think about Liquidity Hub as aggregating crypto liquidity across a number of venues. Today, a lot of centralized ones, but I think in the future, decentralized liquidity is going to become more important, and I'm excited to head that way as well with the product.
To the crypto noobs out there on the Yahoo Finance platform, does this put you in competition with a Coinbase and Robinhood?
Well, so Robinhood, I think, is a front end, and you know, they have a lot of different trading venues. With Coinbase, you know, Coinbase is a centralized exchange. You know, we would sit on top of a company like Coinbase and aggregate that liquidity across a number of venues. And so, you know, not only just potentially Coinbase, but, you know, Bitstamp and all the other exchanges out there, we're like that aggregator layer. Again, today, centralized, but in the future, I think the market's going to head more and more decentralized in terms of exchanges. That's where we want to be as a product as well into the future.
How do you keep this stuff, and not to make it as that simple, how do you keep it safe? How do you keep these payments safe?
Yeah, that's a good question. And, I, you know, it goes back to, you know, what I said earlier is that we have 8 years of building enterprise-grade products in this space. We know how to secure crypto transactions. We know cryptography inside and out. And we're really good at packaging that for enterprises. So we're taking a lot of the learnings we have from building products over the years, and we're making it an elegant experience for our customers. Because I'll tell you, like, our customers, enterprises, they don't have the expertise in security that we do. And I don't think that there's going to be a whole bunch of new crypto engineers out there that are going to solve that pain point. So, hey, why not make it accessible to our enterprise customers? We'll handle that. You handle bringing it to market.
I've talked to a lot of banking executives, and they all want to get into crypto. We want to get into crypto. We love crypto, but they don't have any clear-cut plan, at least externally, to do this. How do you see major financial institutions getting involved with crypto?
I mean, where was this 8 years ago when I was in New York City begging folks to join? But, I mean, that is, like, the really great thing about 2021. We've seen so many different financial institutions get into crypto. So I'm super excited about that. I really hope this time around financial institutions come up with a long-term roadmap to adopt crypto. I thought we saw a lot of folks dabble in 2017 and then quickly fire their teams. How much better would they have been if they just stuck with it over the years and were ahead of the game? So I'm really hoping that you come up with a long-term crypto strategy, not something short-term, but think about how every aspect of the financial world will be transformed using crypto and build for that future. Get ahead of the game. Being here in New York City, financial capital of the world, what a better place to build crypto than right here in New York City. So I'm hoping folks think a little bit more long-term this time. Crypto's not going anywhere. It's here to stay.
I'm not going to ask you for a price prediction because that's rookie stuff right here. But what is more financial institutions in this space mean to Ripple, mean to Bitcoin, mean to Shiba Inu?
Well, the last one is a tough one to answer. But like, I think what it means is that this is going to be part of our financial fabric going into the future. I remember early days, completely dating myself here, but early days of the internet, mm-hmm. I remember folks would have an internet strategy. And now can you imagine a company having an internet strategy? Mm-hmm. And when I hear of financial institutions creating a crypto strategy, I think of the same thing. I was like, in the future, it'll just be part of your DNA. And if it's not, you're not going to be relevant into the future. So, I think that's how I feel about it. I feel like it's here. Folks need to be thinking about how to make it part of your culture, not a side project. Looking forward to seeing more of that in 2022. Mm-hmm. But I also say that I'm excited about corporates adopting crypto. And I know that you're interested in talking about that as well.
I'm excited about it, too. I asked one CEO of an auto company, will you be accepting crypto payments anytime soon? And he laughed at me on live TV. It made me feel kind of ridiculous. But should he be thinking more about adding crypto to what he does?
Well, being from Detroit,
No names. I'm not going to mention
the
name.
Well, the biggest CEO is from General Motors, a woman. So hopefully, at least it's not General Motors, which I love.
I can say it's not General Motors. It's not General Motors.
Well, I definitely think that even car companies should be thinking about a crypto strategy. Hey, maybe it's not for commerce or payments, but is there a way to revolutionize their supply chain in terms of crypto? Is there a way to use distributed ledgers for how cars could communicate with each other and governments in the future? So I think there is a future. It may not just be as simple as accepting Bitcoin to pay for your Chevy Bolt, mm-hmm. But it could be something more in the infrastructure side of a car company in the future.
How many people do you need? You're the CEO of a publicly traded large company, car company, clothing company. How many people should you have on a crypto team? And what is that team? What should they be hiring for?
Well, I think that you definitely need the strategist, but there's companies like Ripple that are building enterprise products to solve these solutions for enterprises. So I hope the answer is you need very few because you can integrate a Ripple product and get you what you need from the crypto decentralized finance space and the crypto space more general. That's like that's a problem that we hope to solve. Again, there is such a demand for crypto engineers and product people in the market today. I don't think it's going to be possible for these enterprises to go out and hire them. That's why we're trying to build products to make it easier so that their existing IT staff can just adopt a product like Ripple's. And there's others in the market as well that they can go out and adopt. But I hope there's a good medium of solving that problem for companies like General Motors and financial institutions and corporations in the future.
You were very early in this industry, essentially starting when there was the great financial crisis. How do you think crypto would do during another financial crisis? And it's not going to happen tomorrow, of course, but it's going to happen at some point in our lifetime.
Well, I definitely have like more gray hairs since I've been up and down.
You're doing okay, so far.
You know, crypto. But listen, like, you know, I never hope for a financial crisis, but I hope that crypto is at a point where folks have more choice by using crypto and can potentially safeguard their assets by using decentralized technology. Hey, I'm not even concerned with just a financial meltdown, but what happens if governments go insolvent and you have your assets in an Argentine peso or Venezuelan currency? And I've seen high adoption rates for crypto in those countries because it provides them financial future in case a government goes insolvent. But the same thing is true in case of another financial meltdown. If you use decentralized technology, I think that it's safer and it's decentralized in the fact that it's not reliant on one financial institution. Mm-hmm. Today, most of the world, as we learned from 2008, is reliant on four or five global money center banks. Mm-hmm. I think that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And then we saw the repercussions of that.
Why is it a problem?
Well, it's a problem is because really folks are dependent on each other. And if one goes insolvent, it's sort of like a dominoes. The rest of them go insolvent. And as a business school student in 2008, I learned about how fragile this world was. And then when I learned about Bitcoin, soon after, I'm like, this is the way you build financial technology. We saw the power of the internet and what it did for democratizing access for information. This is the same thing that's going to happen here, is that we're not going to be reliant on those five big money center banks in the future. We're going to be reliant on decentralized financial technology, and I think that we'll all benefit from that.
Does this help bring costs down in the industry?
We've seen our own customers benefit from bringing costs down. And the reason is that it takes the middlemen off, out of the supply chain. We saw that with cross-border payments. There's fewer middlemen. There's fewer intermediaries for the transaction to go through. If you reduce the number of middlemen in a transaction, the costs go down. And I think you'll see the same thing. You remove friction out of even getting a loan, like we're seeing in the early days of DeFi, and the costs come down. Access goes up. And that's a good thing, I think, for the world. The world needs more financial access. The world needs more financial tools for everyday people around the world.
It's still a little bit of a wild west out there in crypto land. Do you wake up every morning fearful of potential regulation? And what do you think that looks like?
Well, I wake up every morning with my kids screaming at me, but then, I don't wake up in the morning think about financial regulation, but it is...
Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me.
I promise you, I do not think about regulators in the morning. I do think that the U.S. regulators in particular need to get with the program and come up with more proactive regulation. You know, most of our business isn't in the United States. We're a San Francisco company. We have a big office in Chelsea, New York City. But most of our transactions are overseas. And that's because the overseas countries like Singapore, Asia, Europe, they've come up with crypto regulation. The U.S. did that with the Telecommunications Act for the internet, and we saw the benefits of that and internet companies being built in the United States. You look at the NASDAQ, so many of the top market cap companies are internet companies. We created early regulation. We led that around the world. And I think we're falling behind with crypto regulation. We grew 20x. International with ODL, our on-demand liquidity product. We couldn't grow the same way in the United States because I think there's still some hesitancy with financial institutions adopting crypto until the regulators come up with a clear framework. And I'm looking forward to that in 2022 for sure.
So you think regulation is next year? This is a thing for next year?
I thought it was last year and the year before and the year before. I mean, I think it's, I'm hoping it's next year. And listen, like the United States can absolutely catch up and do the right thing in creating a clear framework. And no doubt we will be the epicenter of this future crypto world built and building new kinds of products that are more accessible and revolutionary. But, we got to come up with a clear framework first.
Well, I'm glad you do not wake up every day thinking about regulation. That's a good thing. That is a good thing. We'll leave it there. Ashish Birla, General Manager at RippleNet. Good to see you today.
Thank you.